I would like to inform all parties the call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you.
Hi, this is Greg Chatton, and welcome to what hopefully will be the last call of the single and two-character name subgroup of the Reserved Names Working Group. I think our task at one level, at least, is simple enough, which is to go through Patrick's latest draft of the subgroup report dated 6th of May, 2007, and see if we have any changes or issues that need to be surfaced or discussed. I think Chuck raised a few points that we will follow along as well in his email of May 6th. So we'll make sure to hit his points as well. Any opening thoughts before we start turning pages? Hearing none, I think we can proceed. The definitions of character, symbol, tag named A label, U label, single and two character labels have all are unchanged from the prior draft. So I think we can kind of pass them by. And I think we should start pay a little more attention, though, to the recommendations starting on page 5. And I'll just start off by reading the recommendation, and then we can see if there's any changes. If not, we'll consider them essentially final from the subgroup, that is. Recommendation task 2, category of symbols, we recommend the current practice be maintained so that no symbols other than the hyphen be considered for use at any level unless technology at some time permits the use of symbols. Any minority thoughts, majority thoughts? We will consider that one closed. Recommendation task 3A, single and two-character IDNs at all levels. Single and two-character U labels on the top level and second level of a domain name should not be restricted in general. At the top level, requested strings should be analyzed on a case-by-case basis, depending on the script and language used in order to determine whether the string should be granted for allocation in the DNS. And there's an asterisk at the end there. Patrick, what's the story on the asterisk?
The asterisk refers to that there's more explanation in the body of the document.
Patrick, it's Marilyn. I know that you've used that in several places. I'm thinking you may need to explain that somewhere, and you might want to use something other than an asterisk on page 4 for explaining Victoria's resigning, because right now, you know, there's no explanation for the use of the asterisk.
Could I make a suggestion that I think I'd suggest just putting a footnote at the bottom of that page and then just referring to the page to which the asterisk point refers to, Patrick.
If this template allows footnotes.
Oh, right.
Right. If not, we can kind of put a note at the end of the table or at the beginning of the table or something.
No, actually, I'm looking at page 8, and there is a footnote there, so maybe...
This should be okay. Yes, it does look okay then.
Yeah, Patrick, would that work?
Yes, that works.
Great.
And then just use something other than an asterisk on page 4. Use, I don't know, a pound sign or something.
Right. No. If we're doing footnotes, then we can use the asterisk because the footnotes will be numbered. So.
There's probably an asterisk is probably not required on page 4.
Right.
Right.
It's probably unnecessary, and I can take it out.
Okay.
Good.
Right. So far, we've taken away an asterisk and added footnotes. Examples of the IDNs include stufficantread.com, stufficantread.icom.museum,
let me add a little bit to this.
Yes, please.
I know, Marilyn, you've asked that in the past we sort of speak with IDN experts and get their feedback on these recommendations. And I had had a lot of feedback from Carrie and Tina. And until the weekend or until this morning, I hadn't really heard that much from Ram Mohan.
Yep.
But he's now replied back to me, and he says that the original recommendation, the one that's in there now, is not a bad one, but its practical impact will be to limit registrations of one and two characters at both the top and the second levels. As a registry operator, that is the kind of rule I would implement if this recommendation was adopted in the .info domain.
Limit one and two characters at the second level.
Well, he says its practical impact.
I just want to be sure I heard you.
Its practical impact will be to limit registrations of one and two characters at both the top and the second level.
Uh-huh.
Can you explain why?
I can't, and I don't see it at the second level.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because there's no case-by-case basis recommended.
Well, he's reading that it's going to be hard to manage analyzing single the U-label review at the second level.
Uh-huh. So this is sounding to me like this is a very important piece of feedback, and even though it's late, it's critical, and this is sounding to me like, based on his raising this question, we might want to say that more work is needed to, and I'm really just saying this off the top of my head, but our intent was not to limit registrations of in general, right?
I think part of the problem is, you know, looking at the, instead of looking at the table, I'm now looking at page 10
okay.
of 37, which is recommendation 2, and I guess one question is whether the recommendation task numbers and the recommendation numbers should line up, but it reads a bit differently than what's said here.
But that may be because Patrick hasn't had a chance to include Rom's comments.
Well, I'm saying is that the table on page 5 and the text on page 10 actually sound like slightly different recommendations. What says on page 10 is single and two character U labels on the top level and second level of a domain name should not be restricted in general. That tracks. And then it said, instead, requested strings should be analyzed on a case-by-case basis. It doesn't refer to at the top level. So maybe Ram is looking at this and seeing the instead as being that case-by-case basis is at both the top level and the second level. So I guess we need to figure out what our recommendation is. Is the recommendation to analyze strings at both levels on a case-by-case basis or to only to do so at the top level?
Well, it should definitely be to analyze them at the top level.
Right.
We should start with that.
We should start with that. And then, Patrick, as I understand the end of the first paragraph on 10, registries may propose release of two character strings at the second level, provided that measures to avoid confusion with corresponding country codes are taken.
Well, that's trying to be inclusive of the effort at the CCNSO and the GAC level of dealing with internationalization of the ISO list.
Right. So that's going to take second level registry analysis. The registries are going to have to take some kind of proactive step, either to reserve names that may cause confusion, or review applications at the second level. And what he's saying, I think, in reading that, a registry would have, I think, two options: review every name that's applied for, or reserve names that they think are confusing.
Well, at this point, though, this is offering, wouldn't they also have the limitation that they don't know what's going to happen with the ISO list?
And therefore, if you're being careful to avoid the ISO list, you have to basically not do anything at all.
Well, they don't, and this is why I included examples of existing registrations near the bottom, starting on page 12. These are, right now, registered domain names within .biz that, and they're in either Chinese or Japanese scripts. At, you know, these are able to be registered right now. And I don't know, maybe we do want to allow for a review on a case-by-case basis by the registry, depending on what the script is.
Uh-huh. He didn't object to the recommendation. He just clarified the...
I'll forward his note to the full subgroup.
Okay.
His first email said, Patrick, thanks for the note. There is no technical or IDN issue with this recommendation. I would like to point out that the recommendation that all one or two character IDN strings must be allocated on a case-by-case basis opens up a new set of issues with regard to who will review these applications and decide to issue the names or not, what is the time frame for such applications to be processed. If this recommendation is implemented, then the Reserve Names Working Group needs to be aware that they are effectively blocking one or two character IDN registrations pending the creation of a review and allocation process. I assume that the working group is aware and okay with this track.
Okay.
Now, further discussion, he sort of realized that for at the top level, we didn't mean for these to be treated any differently than any other TLD application that comes in. They will be reviewed by the same criteria as a any other TLD.
I have a couple of questions. So the problem with Mike Rodenbaugh's minority statement is that it doesn't make reference to the ISO 3166 list. Is that the issue there?
Mike's recommendation was made within the original report. He hasn't made any recommendation in the existing 30-day period. And in general, Mike objects to maintaining the existing registration for the ISO list.
So, right, okay.
I don't want to put any words...
Yeah, no, I was just wondering, because I guess the second question I had was, is Ram's reaction because of the way we've phrased it as, rather than should be released, we've phrased it as should not be restricted, and he's sort of reacting to that, should not be restricted. So he's sort of reacting to the sort of negative phraseology.
I don't think that's what he's reacting to. I think he's pointing out we're calling for an allocation methodology, and we hadn't acknowledged that. We had just said registries may propose release, but we didn't say who they were going to propose it to or what criteria they should follow.
I mean, he says the recommendation is okay, but we need to realize that we're recommending blocking of one and two characters.
Uh-huh.
And we're not blocking them across the board. They're being sort of filtered.
Right.
Which may not be the right word, but
I think that was...
It's a roadblock.
They're moderated in some way, yeah.
I mean, I thought the basic rationale for this was to deal with primarily the confusingly similar problem of, you know, com spelt with an O umlaut. Isn't that the rationale for why there's a need to sort of have a few checks along the way?
I think it was. The only thing I think, though, is that it was a confusingly similar both to what exists or numbers or other things that exist and to things that may come into existence, for example, a revised ISO list.
Okay.
And there was also the third case of confusingly similar to things that are disallowed elsewhere. It's something that looks like a number and a letter, or two numbers that aren't two numbers. So, yeah, I mean, it always seems to have confusingly similar as its base, but there's different variants of the issue.
Right.
And one of them is the things that are potential, not things currently in existence. And it sounds like they're right. We did not indicate how who reviews and says, yep, this one's fine. Is that the confusingly similar test that ICANN already does? Is that the public viewing that, first ICANN says, yeah, it looks okay, or there's the one where it's get published and people say, wait a second, that looks confusingly similar too, and then it goes into that process. But I'm not sure that we were thinking that there needs to be yet another process for reviewing those.
No, so I'm wondering whether if we perhaps, with the recommendation that says at the top level requested strings should be analyzed on a case-by-case basis, could we just add reference to this is just part, what we're talking about here is the analysis that goes on for release of new GTLDs.
But the other part is that we're saying there's something at the second level, but we're not exactly saying what.
Yeah, well, I think we need to be specific about that, don't we?
Yeah, and that's where the registry says, if you tell me there's a what, but you don't tell me what the what is, well, maybe the easiest thing is to just not allocate them.
Yeah, I mean, shouldn't we, it seems to me that there are two things that we care about, is one, that they're consistent with the IDN guidelines, and two, that they don't cause any 3166 problems. Is that all?
Well, and in this report, I did include examples of names that have been able to be registered. So I don't think we want to continue to block one and two character IDNs at the second level.
No. So, and those ones that have been registered, I mean, the basis of the registration is just, that they're consistent with the IDN guidelines and they're consistent with any other requirements, and I thought the only other requirement was the 3166 quasi-restriction.
Patrick, the way the example is written on page 5, the first example you gave is that is a comma following that character, is that right?
Yes, so that would be an example of a single character at the top level.
Okay.
So there's a dot, and then the character, and then a comma, and then a two-character .com name, and then a comma, and a third level Farsi name within an existing TLD.
Yeah.
So I tried to cover all the top level, second level, and there is an existing third level example.
This is a potential single character IDN, not an existing IDN.
Yes, so I could say examples of IDN include, however you want to say it, but they are examples of that is a potential.
So Alistair, what changes would you make in the recommendation then?
I'm just trying to figure out the wording, Marilyn, but basically what it needs is reference to something like at the top level requested strings should be analyzed on a case-by-case basis in the new GTLD process or, words to that effect.
Yeah.
It just basically needs reference to the process that is used for the analysis, which to me is just the release of new GTLDs, and this is just a particular special type of new GTLD, which is an IDN.
Right.
If I add the word after a case-by-case basis put in the new GTLD process, depending on the script and language, that would then pick up your...
Yeah.
And I guess on page 10, rather than saying instead at the beginning of the sentence, we would say at the top level.
And then at the top level, requested constraints should
be. Yeah. And I think we also need to make reference to the new GCLD process there, too.
Okay.
And then I think we need to be just clear at the second level what we are seeking. And I, as far as I know, I mean, there is no, I mean, I think the only two requirements that I can see here is one, the ISO 3166 list, and second, the fact that they need to be consistent with the IDN guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are plenty of examples of confusing similarity in existing GCLD, so...
So I could add a sentence at the end that one and two character labels at the second level should be consistent with the IDN guidelines.
Yeah.
Okay. Should be released consistent with the IDN guidelines or available for registration?
I would think available for registration.
Yeah, provided they are consistent with the IDN guidelines.
Okay.
Anything further on this single and two character IDMs at all levels in the table? I don't think so. We'll move on then. Recommendation task 3B, single letters at the top level.
Before you go on, can
yes.
we just go back to a point that I think Alistair made or you made maybe? How are we going to get the numbers between the recommendations and the, you know, right now they say recommendation task 2, recommendation task 3.
Well, don't confuse state would have worked number with our recommendation number.
Right, so I was wondering about the recommendation number. Maybe ought to be, should there be a reference in this grid?
I could easily insert within the recommendation box.
Yeah.
The number what corresponds. So, for example, on symbols, statement of work number says recommendation task 2. And next, before I start with the text of the recommendation itself, just put the number 1.1.
Good.
I think that would be helpful.
Works for me. And then should we get rid of the confusing label of recommendation 3, recommendation 4, and just have, you know, so it doesn't make sense to have, like, I'm sorry, I'm flipping back and forth here. So recommendation 1.1 is called recommendation 1. Maybe it should just be called 1.1, symbols.
Well, we don't want to change the format that...
Is this part of the template?
Yeah, this is part of the template that Chuck and Liz want.
Okay, then maybe it ought to be recommendation 1 instead of 1.1.
That's fine.
I'm just thinking later when we get into the full report.
You know, it's not that big a deal. So, in fact, there really isn't a need for it to be 1.1. It can just be recommendation in the number.
Yeah. Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Sorry, back to the...
Back to our regularly scheduled programming.
So I'll fix it.
Here the recommendation for single letters at the top level is, we recommend continued reservation of single letters at the top level until completion of a technical test. Based on the outcome of the technical test, discussions of methods of allocation can be considered. Examples include dot A, dot Z.
So I have a question about consistency with the text in the...
Yeah.
And I'm going over to page...
Page 14.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think here the... Because of the lateness of my submission, the table didn't change.
So, Greg, you made this change?
I did make these changes.
But this is not, I mean, so you made changes, but this is the first time that we've seen them.
No, these were circulated before the full working group call.
But I don't understand the, if necessary, the completion of a technical test.
Well, looking back on our discussions with our technical experts, it was not clear to me what the test we were recommending was, because it's not really spelled out here what the test would be.
Yeah. I tried to do that, and my son, but I didn't want to go into that level of detail.
I'm concerned that if we say that there's some unknown test, there's no way anybody's going to know what it's going to be. It's kind of like alchemy at that point. And I think we need, if we're recommending that there's actually a test that must be performed, and it's a particular test, or it's at least testing a particular issue, we need to identify exactly what the issue is and why we're having a test for it.
Sure.
Or else, you know, after further consultation with technical experts, it may be that there's no need for a test. I just don't know that we're at the point where I'm even sure that a test is required. I kind of want to work through that and get this one done, but...
Yeah. I'm of the opinion that a technical test is required, and I did offer to flesh it out a bit, but Rodenbaugh did not think that was necessary. I'm not unhappy with the way you proposed it, but I just think we probably... I had not caught your suggested change, and I didn't understand... why we would put, and if necessary, the test in parentheses in one place and not another. It should probably be just consistent.
There's no reason. It was just, style, not substance. I have no problem with making it consistent either, having the parens in both places or removing the parens.
Yeah. Well, why don't we just remove the parens, and
sure.
Then what you didn't describe here is how we would... Did you intend to describe what the further consultation with technical experts would be?
No, I left that open-ended. I mean, at this point, I think I would prefer to have a little more drill down on what it is, what the concern is. I mean, there is some, discussion of it being in the rationale section, that there is some concern at the software.
Uh-huh.
The DNS application software level.
Well,
will cause certain older DNS software applications to incorrectly resolve.
And what is the, that was discussed by the technical experts. What is the insert here? However, we have no evidence that mistyping is more of a concern for single letter names than it is for longer strings.
The sentence is been bothering me for a long time, that there's potential user confusion for mistyping single letters. I don't think we have any linguistic or typing experts that would say that it's more likely to mistype a single letter than it is to mistype a long string. And I'm not going to, I'm no expert, so I can't, kind of throw my own two cents in here. But frankly, my own two cents orally in this group is that you're more likely to see somebody mistyping a 20-letter name by, mistyping any one letter than they are to mistype a single letter. With the exception of, it's not so much mistyping, but miscomprehending a Q for a G or an uppercase I for a lowercase L or that sort of thing. So it's not really so much, you know, the typo squatters like to go after longer names rather than shorter ones because I hate to use them as a as experts, but in a sense they are because they're, you know, looking to make money. You know, they go after longer strings because people tend, if they're typing more letters each time they add a letter, that, you know, it seems to me to add to the likelihood of that the string as a whole will contain at least one wrong letter.
This is about visual confusion, not mistyping. So I think that paragraph does need to be changed, I think, Greg. I think it needs to be changed, too. There may be potential user confusion because of the visual similarity between some digits and single letters at the top level. I think that's what it should be changed
right.
to.
Right, and also between some letters and other letters, at least in certain typefaces.
Exactly.
But Greg, I don't think I think Alistair's enhancement is the better clarification because this isn't mistyping, it's user confusion, and that's what it's labeled. There may be potential user confusion from, and maybe this would say, mistaking single letters and digits for each other.
Right, or misperceiving. It's a perceptual issue, not a finger, you know, a coordination issue.
The finger coordination issue is between Q and W, not between L and 1.
Exactly, right, on the keyboard. Exactly.
Yeah.
I guess the word mistyping had kind of misdirected me, and perhaps others.
Apologies for that. I think I wrote the original sentence.
Oh, no pride of authorship required.
There may be potential user confusion from visually mistaking single letters and digits.
Or just certain single letters and digits?
Certain single letters and digits, and then just put the example there, period, full stop.
Right. Maybe if we work the words visual similarity in there somewhere, it could be helpful.
I said visually mistaking.
Visually, yeah.
There may be potential user confusion from mistaking certain single letters and digits. Then put the examples in. Due to visual similarity, is that okay?
Something like that.
Yep.
Yep.
Marilyn, can you send me the language so I can drop it in?
I'm going to read it to you because I'm going to disappear after this due to a oversight of doing something for another client. So I'll be gone. There may be potential user confusion from mistaking certain single letters and digits. And then the examples, due to visual similarity. So that took care of that. If we go back to the previous we just took out the parentheses on the previous thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think that, you know, again, going back to the table, I think the table here should track the recommendation on page 14.
Okay.
Which I think is just a timing issue, essentially.
So, Greg, here's the problem. I think we do recommend continued reservation of single letters at the top level until further consultation with technical experts and, if necessary, completion of a technical test.
Right. So I'm saying is that page 14, which you just read the beginning of, should go into page 5,
uh-huh.
which, you know, didn't talk about the further consultation with technical experts.
Right. I see what you mean. Okay. So if we make that change, then I have a question for you on Patrick, are you okay with that? Can I go on with another question?
Yes.
In the last, sorry, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, in the sixth paragraph under rationale, we should change the word, we should use the word may, shouldn't we? Allocation of single letters at both the top level and second level in combination may cause certain odor to incorrectly be solved. That's what I recall from our expert's discussion.
I think that's right as well.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. Patrick, you haven't heard from either Bellevin or McFadden, have you?
No.
Hmm. Neither have I, although, you know, I posted, included the posting to the list. So maybe you and I can figure out how to track them down.
Okay. We still need to fix the, under consultations with experts.
Mm-hmm.
It says insert by, insert link.
Right.
Right.
That needs to be updated.
Why don't we...
kind of all following up with them.
Yep. Patrick, why don't we just say where we make reference to the transcript? Why don't we just say the transcript for that discussion can be found in the subgroup archives?
Yep.
Okay.
And then you and I will follow up to see if we can nail them down.
Hopefully we can. So.
We're counting on it.
If you could, that would be great.
Yeah.
And that repeats in a few different places here, obviously.
Yeah.
See, going back to the chart on page 5, I think other than tracking page 14, there shouldn't be any other changes to single letters at the top level. So I think we can move to single letters and digits at the second level, unless there's anything more on this, at least from the point of view of the table. Recommendation task 3B, single letters and digits at the second level, release contingent upon the development of a suitable allocation framework. Examples include a.com, i.info. If single-letter TLDs are unreserved, reserve single letters at the second level in these domains.
The first comment I would make there is we need an example. So we should have b.c.
Right. b.c should be reserved.
Yeah. But the thing that we need to address is the various comments. I don't know whether others have seen them from Chuck in response to those red line words in this recommendation. But I couldn't see precisely what he was getting at, because he seemed to be saying if you release them in say existing TLDs, that would somehow force a particular approach in TLDs that had yet to be released. I couldn't understand why that would be. I mean, you know, you've got existing TLDs now which have names reserved which are in use in other TLDs.
Right.
So I can't see why, just because you've released, say, a.com, why that prevents reservation of a.a.
I don't either, and I because the technical issues are different, not right? That's the basic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I
think actually... It was really interesting. I read it, I just didn't understand it. If you're trying to avoid registrations like B.B, then it seems like B would have to be reserved at the top level because it's already reserved as a name at the second. Always already registered the name at the second level. In, I assume he, so, you know, let's say we have a new 14 character name, gobbledygook, whatever.
Yeah.
And B is allocated. It's B dot gobbledygook. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't understand why that affects the recommendation on B.B, given that B.B is related to a technical issue.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that this is no different from any other TLD. You just, as part of the contract with the registry operator, you just say, or ICANN just says, you must reserve the following characters and or following second level domains, and that's basically the 26 letters of the alphabet. I mean, I can't see why that isn't something that can be done. It's precisely what's done with other, with existing domains.
So there's something in what we've written that somehow Chuck is reading something different into it, because even reading his most recent email, I just can't follow what he's saying. I'll read it here. It says, here's what I was envisioning, Greg. Single letter names are released on the second level before the top level. 2, B.TLD is registered. 3, single letter names are released at the top level after the above. 4, the single letters and digits recommendation at the second level in the most recent draft report sent out by Patrick adds the following sentence. If single letter TLDs are unreserved, reserve single letters at the second level in these domains. That means that B.TLD would have been reserved if it wasn't already registered. But because it is already registered, you could feasibly end up with a registration B.B. Wasn't the subgroup trying to avoid that, or did I misunderstand something?
I think he misunderstood something.
Yes, my conclusion is he misunderstood something.
And the question is whether other readers, since Chuck is a pretty sharp reader, would other readers be similarly confused, or is this, does Chuck somehow just have a mote in his eye on this particular point?
No,
I'm just wondering whether the lack of an example is causing the confusion.
Exactly.
I think that's what we need. It's kind of maybe an if-then example. If dot A is allocated or unreserved, then all single letters in the domain in the TLD dot A would be reserved.
At the second level.
At the second level in that domain only, or something
like
that.
Yeah, exactly.
The example is kind of getting rather verbose, but...
Now, the only issue we would have to deal with, and I think it's defensible, is that there's always been a strong feeling in ICANN that all registries should be treated the same. So you're saying, we'd be saying that A.com is available to be registered, but A.B would not be.
Patrick, I'm going to push back pretty hard on that interpretation, though. When you say they should all be treated the same...
This is John.
John, sorry. I'm going to push back on that, though, right? When you say they should be treated the same, yet we did allow .mobi to have a different business model, and they're allocating some names through this unique business model.
Yeah, I don't, just for the record, don't disagree with you. I'm just pointing out an issue that may be raised and that we might have to address. Because my feeling is that similarly situated registries are being treated this equitably, in that all registries that are single letter top level TLDs would be treated the same.
Right.
Well, I think we are treating them all the same, because we're basically saying if there are no technical issues, they can be released. But we have identified a technical issue.
Yep, no, that's a good point, too.
Right. The technical issue is limited to where there's a single letter at both the top level and the second level. And somehow that's not quite making it into at least Chuck's reading of this.
No, I think your proposed wording, Greg, addresses the issue, at least as far as I can see it.
Patrick, you want me to try to shoot you something afterwards?
Yes.
Okay. I'll hopefully be able to recapture that, or listen to the MP3 transcription, or read the transcription, recapture it there from the shards of the transcription. Okay.
don't
get
even get the transcription in time.
No, probably not. Example, anything further here on single letters and digits at the second level?
It's over under rationale.
Okay. Let's see, what page is that, Marilyn?
I gotta find out where I am. Sorry, you know, I'm like all of you. I'm like, wait a minute. So rationale is on page 17.
Right.
Sorry, but I don't have a question about 17.
Okay. Good.
I just had a question about 18, but it's the same. I think when you read 18, sorry, when you read page 18, the last sentence there, which I think is what we are trying to say, based on the discussion we just had,
this again, I think, probably needs some examples.
Yeah.
Just to make sure it's...
And hey, Greg, I think you might actually say, for example, in a new GTLD of multiple characters, the single letter category would not need to be reserved, while in the single letters at the second level would need to be reserved in single letter TLDs until the problem described above has been eliminated.
Yeah, something along those lines.
On those lines, yeah.
And not to throw another monkey wrench into the works, but there's the issue of reserving all TLD names at the second level, such that if TLDs, if all 26 letters, let's say, and 9 numbers were reserved as single letter, single character TLDs, wouldn't that then require the practice of reserving them in all subsequent new TLDs?
I found this discussion amazing because in a previous, much earlier, PDP 05 discussion, we talked about this. I think it was in Amsterdam, and people pretty much rejected the idea that it would be very feasible to do that, since the likelihood of applications will include a large number of generic names, and the vast majority of generic names are registered already in at the second level
right.
in a number of existing GTLDs.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would have thought if, for example, you know, Telstra, there's Telstra.com, and if Telstra wants to register .telstra, well, fine. It's up to them. They don't need to go and tell, you know, VeriSign that that's going to happen and seek VeriSign's permission for that to happen.
Right. Or if somebody wants to do .fun, what do you do about fun.com and fun.net?
Yeah, exactly.
And does that mean that any new TLD after .fun can't register fun.tld? But that it's grandfathered into the existing TLDs. Since that's not part of our group's work, I would propose to stay away from it, if we can. I know it's part of the full working group's consideration. We did give that due airing on last week's call. But.
I mean, we're just talking about a special case of single letters because of a particular technical problem.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, and if we make it clear that that's a special case, well, I can't see how that carries over into other areas.
I don't, yeah, it may not. It may not. Anything further than single and two digits, single letters and digits, just where were we? We were still at single letters and digits at the second level.
So I think we have to, on page 19, choose between may and will. Whoops, sorry, I'm on the wrong page.
Yeah, I think you are.
No, I'm done.
Okay. I think there'll be a few more changes need to be made in the body of the text as well. If we want to cover those now, Patrick, on page 18, in the single sentence that's above the in the section consultation with experts.
Yep.
The single sentence in the middle, it should read, I think, while it appears that single letters and digits at the second level can be released.
Yeah.
And then just above that, the must start with a letter. There's a footnote elsewhere in this report that indicates that there was a follow-on RFC that indicated it could start with a digit. I apologize, I didn't identify that footnote, but
it's RFC 1123, and I'll add reference to that.
Great.
And Greg, where is that? What you're referencing? Because I thought we had picked that up before.
We did pick it up in a different place. It's just not picked up in this place.
Yeah. I got it.
There are multiple similar references throughout this report, since it's all kind of a seamless web. And I think we can go to single and two digits at the top level. Here the recommendation is we recommend continuation of the reserved status four digits at the top level in order to avoid potential confusion with IP addresses within software applications. Examples include .3 and .99.
We should make the language within the table track the language that's in the body later on. So why don't I cut and paste this recommendation and put it in the body starting on, what is it, page 1920? The language is just a little bit different.
Hey, where are you looking in recommendation 5?
Within the table, recommendation 5, and then that language doesn't quite track the language that's in the...
In 1.6?
Yes.
On page bottom of page 18 in my printout. Yeah, it's a little bit different. So.
Yeah, so they should be the same.
Yeah, good point. Anything further on this, at least in the table? We can move on to recommendation task 3B, single letter, single digit combinations at the top level. Applications may be considered for single letter, single digit combinations at the top level in accordance with the terms set forth in the new GTLD process. Examples include .3F, .A1, .U7. That seems fine. Recommendation task 3D, two letters at the top level.
Are we going to talk about the text of recommendation 6 first?
Sure, we can go back and forth. I haven't quite been going back and forth, but we can do that. So this is recommendation 6, which is single letter, single digit combinations at the top level. It starts on page 20.
Yeah, and one thing that ought to happen is what's on... we ought to use the same examples. And so use 3F, A1, U7 instead of LO and 2K.
Yep.
Then my suggestion is get rid of the paragraph in italics and move the text of the paragraph that follows into the middle of rationale. That's really where it was intended to be, I think. Sorry about that, guys.
Do you have a steel drum somewhere in your office there?
Are you in the Caribbean, Maryland?
Don't I wish. Then I would read the... rationale as follows. Combination of numbers and letters exists at the second level, and there appears to be no technical prohibition to a single letter and a single number combination at the top level. Then you insert, there may be further considerations regarding how numbers and letters may be mistaken for each other by the user due to And Greg, what's the term we used before? Visual similarity.
Visual similarity.
Visual similarity, so strike the word appearance, due to visual similarity, such as lowercase, such as the number 10 versus the combination of the lowercase L and the uppercase O. Where a user is searching for a domain name, where numbers are allowed at the second level, and a user is searching for 333.lo, but types 333.10. Numbers at the top level are not recommended. See recommendation 6. I think that would just follow that second sentence. Then I don't actually agree that user confusion. This says if ordering not means significant, user confusion would not be different than with names at any other level or of any longer length. I think user confusion is still going to be the same even if the numbers are reversed, even if the digits are reversed and it's now uppercase O, lowercase L. That still is going to look like the number 1.
Right.
So I propose, again, strike the italics paragraph and just take that text and put it at the end of the first sentence and write the new addition in red there. And strike what's in what's in the square brackets, because that paragraph takes care of it.
Yeah, this is the C question above you're talking about,
yeah.
Marilyn.
Right.
And I mean, I would just to make sure that it's clear that we're the words after the I O, or is it L O? Lowercase L and uppercase O, that needs to be in round brackets, not square brackets, just to show that we're, if it is in brackets, that is.
Right, but and it probably should be in typical
parentheses. Yeah.
Okay.
And then down in consultation with experts, just insert that instead of link to transcript, just say, a transcript available in the subgroup archive.
Yeah.
I'm never going to work on another working group that Patrick's not on. And Patrick is probably saying, oh yeah?
Thinking just the opposite.
Oh, I heard that.
That was Greg, not Patrick. Just being a devil, living up to the potential of my last name.
Okay, I've picked up those all the comments.
Great.
And then we asked on page 20, we asked Delavan for clarification on the RFCs, so I'll put that on our list of things to ask him and Mark about, Patrick.
Yep. That could be the last thing that ends up hanging out here, is the expert concurrence and clarification. So.
Yep.
Maybe I'll just go lurk around Columbia University and look for somebody who looks like Steve Delavan. See, does that bring us to the end of single letter, single digit combinations?
I think so.
I think it does as well. So we can move on to recommendation task 3D, two letters at the top level. And this says, we recommend that the current practice of allowing two letter names at the top level only for CCTLDs remain at this time. Examples include .au, .de, .dk. And there's an asterisk here, which will become a footnote. And here we have Mike Rodenbaugh's minority statement in the test. Otherwise, this one hasn't really changed. So I think we can call it closed. Unless there is some last-minute reconsideration. That's enough time for last-minute reconsideration. We can move on. Recommendation task 3D, any combination of two letters and digits at the second level, ASCII. Registries may propose, should that ASCII be there in the domain name level?
No, it's not necessary.
Yeah. Registries may propose release, provided that measures to avoid confusion with any corresponding country codes are implemented. Examples include ba.arrow, ub.cat, 53.com, 3m.com, e8.org. That seems straightforward, and let's just take a look at the recommendation itself.
Yeah, never mind.
Recommendation 8 itself did not change. We have the double asterisk there in the recommendation. The asterisk here as well needs to be kind of sorted out.
Patrick, it's just a style thing, but just strike the word recommendation at the beginning of that paragraph.
Yes. Yep. That was a carryover from the last report.
Right.
When the templates change two or three or four times, it's often hard to keep scrubbing back to text. Well, that brings us to the end of the recommendation table, and we did manage to cover a number of the actual textual subsections as well. Let's kind of just take a quick look at any changed pages that we didn't hit already. Or let's see, I'm turning pages frantically to see if there are any changed pages that we didn't already hit. So far I'm finding none. I'm up to page 20. I think that brings us then. I did not find any within any of the recommendation sections. Summary of relevant information sources. Yes, I wonder if this has been updated to bring in any newly added sources that were added themselves. Or maybe there weren't any for the different references.
Yes, it has.
Okay, great. Good.
Is the RFC list complete? I don't see... what was it? 15. Didn't we? Wasn't there one starting with 15?
I guess 1535 needs to be.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Yep. Now, how many people on this call have read all of the RFCs?
I've read some of them, but I'm not going to say I understood them all.
I normally need them translated.
Which is not there. 11. Whoops. Is it?
I've read most of them.
Sorry, Audrey?
I was just saying that I've read most of them.
Well. Wow.
But what about 11? Oh, there it is. 11.
1123 is there.
There.
But 1535 I don't think is. And
no. And
so
needs to be included.
I don't know whether there's any others that I'm missing out.
I will do one final check to make sure I picked up all the RFCs that are referred to in the document.
Great. Any further issues, questions, before we kind of talk about final tasks and next steps? Floor is open. Okay, the floor is closed. I think the next step, the most important next step, is to track down our beloved technical experts and to try to get their concurrence and clarification where noted. If we can't get it, then we'll just have to deal with the art of the possible in getting this completed and edit accordingly, but it would be best to get the concurrence in line with our discussed protocol. So who is, just to clarify for the record, that Patrick and Marilyn, are you chasing our technical experts?
I think so.
Okay, great.
That sounds like a good job for the internet detective.
Yes. And other than that, Patrick, what other guidance, notes, drop-ins, clarification, elucidation do you need?
The last-minute text from, Greg, you mentioned some.
Example?
Earlier. Yeah. If you want to send that to me, I will turn around at some point late tonight a updated red line with a clean version, and then everyone comment on it, and if it looks okay, then we can send it on to the full group.
Great. I will send you that example shortly after we get off the call, consistent with a couple of other things I need to do more quickly than that. If there's anything further, now is the time to raise it, because otherwise we will adjourn and see each other on Thursday's call.
Greg, I just had one other comment.
Yes.
In Chuck's global notes, after listening to the...
Good point. We should take a look at those and just make sure they're we've hit his points.
Yeah. So, minority statements, he said, please be prepared to submit minority statements for the full working group report Wednesday.
Actually, I've got Chuck's email here in front of me. Let me go over the points. Other than the point we already discussed about the single letter TLD issue, third level recommendations. I notice that you do not have any recommendations for the third level. Understanding that any such recommendations that only apply to new GTLDs that register names to the third level, would your recommendations for the second level apply to the third level as well? I think the answer to that is yes. For those domains that truly register names at the third level. If so, it should be fairly easy to modify your recommendations to accommodate this. However you handle this, you should include recommendations for the third level to cover any new GTLDs proposed that will register names at the third level.
No, this is Patrick. I thought earlier, maybe it was a couple weeks ago, within our 30-day extension period, we decided that third level names were not part of our work.
Yes, it was decided it was out of scope, which hit me especially hard since I was on the third level subcommittee.
So it doesn't make sense to me to sort of squeeze third level names in our report.
I would agree, and I think we should discuss that on Thursday because it seems inconsistent. Because the only third level names that I discussed in my report were those that were registered. And they were part of the business plan of those particular TLDs. So.
I would say we not waste a lot of time trying to squeeze it in.
Yes, let's not, and let's move on. IDNA recommendations. Have you had the wording of your IDNA recommendations validated by some IDN experts?
The answer is yes.
Yes. Okay, so that's done. Minority statements, we've already covered. No, it also says here, I note that minority statements are included for supporting information section of the report. That is fine, but they should also be included right after the recommendation table.
Oh, he wants them plugged in.
Right, before the body. In essence, kind of at the end of page 6. Or there's a blank page 7 that should contain the minority reports. Before supporting information and after the table, I guess the minority statements should be there. Got that, Patrick?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can add a
yeah, I think it's just cut and paste them.
Well, it is, but it's displaying them. Are we going to have a separate table that's minority statements and reference the particular recommendation that they come from? Or do we insert them underneath the full subgroup recommendation and mark that this is a minority position?
I think we should have a separate table, because that seems to be what Chuck wants. And that way we don't have to muck up the main table.
Yeah, there aren't that many of them.
Right.
And it's unfortunate that Mike couldn't be on the call because it could be that he doesn't have a problem with our IDN recommendation, but it's just a carryover from the, you know, maybe if there's a way to have him review our recommendations and see if his minority statements are still valid.
I can send him an email after this call to see if his minority statements are still valid.
Okay.
I would use the word applicable.
Okay.
So, that's, yeah, better.
Okay. Start the email now so it sits on my desktop. Okay. Section 1.5, consultation with experts. Paragraph says, further work may be required before any recommendations can be drafted on potential release of single digits at the second level. Due to the definition of a domain name, an RFC 1035 must start with a letter. At the same time, you did not recommend further work on this before releasing these. What is your thinking in that regard? Would it be better to recommend release of letters only at this time and release of digits after additional work is done?
At the same time, what is the RFC he referenced?
1035, the must start with a letter. But I think that's, as we indicated, that's there's a follow-on RFC 1123, I think it is, modifies it and says that it can start with a digit.
I don't actually know. Patrick, do you know, maybe we're going to have to look at this.
This isn't a recommendation for single letters and digits at the second level.
No, we may have to look back at we may have to look at those two RFCs.
RFC 1123 updates 1035,
right.
So it doesn't have to start with the letter.
So I think our answer back to him should be, in reviewing, our review of RFC 1123 is that it's an update to 1035, and that would mean that single characters could be released as well. Single digits, sorry. Could be released as well.
Yeah, do we need to even have that sentence now that we know that RFC 1035 essentially doesn't say that anymore? And I think there's also, just looking at the same page, Patrick, just above consultation with experts, the second to last paragraph has another discussion of RFC 1035.
Yeah, we should really take that out.
Yeah.
Tell me what page you're on, Greg.
Page 18 of 37.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking at the paragraph that begins toward the top, given that single letter and number second level domains. There's a parenthetical about RFC 1035 definition. I think that perhaps all of these 1035 references can be kind of taken out because it's a red herring.
Yeah, I think that was drafted early.
Before we found the 1123.
I think I even may have drafted that.
I think since we now have more complete knowledge that indicates essentially that part of 1035 has been overruled or changed.
So is it better to say RFC 1123 specifies that a domain name can start with either a letter or a digit?
And we can certainly say that. I guess these continued references to RFC 1035 causing a problem.
Right.
For a single digit at the second level, this kind of needs to be, maybe it needs to be referenced once as being not a problem because 1035 has been clarified by 1123 and that a digit can begin a second level domain.
That's a good sentence to stick in.
Yeah. So
kind of just like what you said.
Yeah, and that could just be at the end of that paragraph you're talking about and then strike the one under consultation with experts.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then we don't have to deal with it anymore. Kind of asked and answered, as lawyers like to say.
Okay, I'll pick up that sentence out of the MP3, the transcript.
Okay. And if it somehow doesn't make its way out perfectly, just send me something, Patrick. I'll get me back to you on my BlackBerry.
Okay.
Just, it's garbled, but it sounds something like XYZ.
Hey, Greg?
Yes.
On page 19, we need to either provide examples or strike the reference to examples.
Where are you exactly? I'm on the page, but I'm...
On 19, it now reads, in addition to that DNS software, there are also legacy software applications that will interpret if certain numbers, such as OO, are omitted, inserting numbers into a string and thus causing misdirection.
Okay,
this says side examples.
Yeah. if we can't get an example from Bellavin or McFadden, or if somebody doesn't recall one that was discussed,
yeah.
I think we'll strike the parenthetical. Just maybe one last chance at getting an example from our experts would be part of the last chance at getting anything from our experts.
Greg, this is the example they gave. This is an example. That
yep.
I guess the question is, what software applications are these?
No, maybe I should. This is Patrick again. This bracketed statement was added by Mike in his suggestions. And, you know, I honestly don't know if it needs to be there, but I'll leave it to the rest of the subgroup to decide that.
It would be helpful, I think, in making the point if our experts had an example of what these legacy software applications might be.
You want
if they can't supply
the
one, either the name or a function.
We can ask
something that could kind of put a little more specificity to that.
Sure, Greg.
And if we can't get an answer, then the parenthetical disappears.
Okay, we can ask them.
Yeah. Let's just ask them, and if they don't have an answer, you know, then we'll just remove it and move on. If they do have an answer, we'll supply it, which will, you know, give added support to the statement, which is always a good thing, to get added support for anything. And let's see, the consultation with experts section here just needs to be cleaned up, as with the other ones that have the blanks and the square brackets and the like. Let me see if there's any other of Chuck's points. I'm almost done with Chuck's points. Section 1.7, recommendation 6. The first paragraph starts out with, applications may be considered for two-character names. For clarity, I suggest that you say, applications for new ASCII GTLDs may be considered for names combining one letter and one digit.
It now says, applications may be considered for two-character names consisting of a single letter and a single digit. So he just wants to reword that?
Yeah. Maybe instead of consisting of, we can say combining. So we'll read applications may be considered for two-character names combining a single letter and a single digit. In either order, comma, at the top level.
Five.
I think that meets the same need with a slightly less editing.
Okay.
Technical experts. Chuck says, make sure that you identify the positions and qualifications of technical experts so that readers know why they are considered experts. You do not need to do that every time you refer to them, but probably should do it the first time they are referenced, or at least point to where their qualifications can be found in the report.
Oh, I thought we need to provide links to their bios.
Yeah. And if there's an easy bio, we can drop in as a reference.
There is for both of them. Mike provided McFadden at the ICANN wiki, and Sullivan provided his. I can mail them both to
Patrick.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
They also described what they did in the on the call anyway.
Right. I think we should, for those people who are limited to hard copy, we should have something in the report itself so that we know that, you know, Steve Bellavin is who he is and Mark McFadden is who he is, and they're not just a couple of guys pushing shopping carts full of deposit bottles down the middle of Broadway.
You're such a skeptic.
I'm from Missouri.
Huh. No, you're not, because you don't pronounce it correctly.
I know. I've never been to Missouri, actually, I hate to say. Or Missouri, or any of...
I don't think you need to hate to say that you've never been there.
Okay, well. I hope to go there someday.
Really?
And given that I am from Missouri, Greg...
You are.
I am.
Learn something new every day.
I live in Missouri. You don't want to go to Missouri.
I want the barbecue.
Oh, okay.
And see the arch. Anyway, that is the end of Chuck's comments and clarifications. And if there isn't anything further, I think we can adjourn. Last chance, any call for further comments or anything? I think everyone is rendered speechless or mute, so I think we can adjourn this call. I thank you all for all of your efforts on this subgroup and for tolerating me and helping me be a chair to you all. And I think this is a fantastic report, and I applaud all of you. I have to especially applaud Patrick, since nearly everything came out of his probably bloodied stumps of fingertips by now. And it's been a pleasure and an honor to work with all of you on this particular subgroup.
Thank you.
Yes, likewise. Thank you.
Thank you all, and we'll see each other on Thursday's call.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.